Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles. Rosenberg's on an assignment and representing Ghana, representing dancehall. My man Stone Boy is here today. New single out. New record deal too, right? What's going on
for
with
sure.
You?
Yeah, man, it's been a nice time now. Stone Boy, Def Jam, Burnington Music Group, you know, together. About to drop the first project, you know.
So this is, for everybody, he's saying Def Jam. Yeah, Def Jam is in Africa. Global, Universal Music Group is in
exactly,
Africa.
Exactly.
Through, I think their main offices are in South Africa.
South Africa, yeah.
And so you decided to do a partnership with them.
Exactly. So
how's it going?
No, it's going amazing. It's actually a global deal that has Def Jam, you know, representing my things across, you know, the world, but it was signed through South Africa, you know, so it goes across the world. And this is going to be the first project in terms of album that we're going to be dropping. But we've since released three songs, you know, which is Therapy, Gidigba, and then More of You Now. So, you know, it's an amazing...
That More of You is something.
Yeah.
That's a good record right
Thank
there.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So Stoneboy and I had... First conversation was in 2017.
Yeah.
It was the first time we met. And, you know, the music coming out of Africa has exploded with opportunities, right? And just global acceptance. Mm-hmm. How you have been making records since when? How long have you been a recording artist?
Yay. I'm like, since when I was, let's just say 16. Yeah, since when I was 16.
Since when you were 16. But you've been doing it for like 10 years, though.
Yeah, exactly. More than 10 years.
Because, and a lot of people don't know, Burna Boy been doing it for 10 years.
Exactly, more than a decade.
Yeah, like WizKid, you know what I'm saying? People been building for a long time, but just now got popular. And I point that out because I want to have a conversation with you about just kind of where music is at. Because it's in many ways... And we talk about it all the time here. All the popular music that we know on planet Earth comes from black music. Great. And the original black music, obviously, comes from Africa.
100.
And then the diaspora created things called soca.
100.
Dancehall.
Reggae.
Reggae, dancehall, hip-hop, you know, house music, all of these things which are based on African music of our ancestors, right?
That's right.
Was brought here. And so, but then the diaspora music almost in a way returned to Africa. And that's why you call, like when I first met you, I was like, yo, you making dancehall? He's making straight dancehall right now.
Straight up. I know.
And so then I was like, yo.
People.
Now, how, for you, you hear, who did you hear? And you was like, yo, I want to be that kind of artist.
I mean, I heard Buju, I heard Sean Paul, I heard Shaba, I heard Supercat, I heard tons and tons of Sizzla, Kippleton, I heard Jakior, I heard Agent Sasko,
now, how did
Beanie
you,
Man.
When did you hear it? How did you hear it? When did you hear it? Were they coming to Africa? Was it playing on the radio? Were you getting, you know, tapes at the...
All of those, all of those, because I mean, the likes of the legends that I've mentioned have been touring Africa years, including Bob Marley himself and Peter Tosh and etc. So that's how the we've been seeing that tapes. I've personally not attended any of those because I'm still really a kid, you know. And we download tapes. We go them time there. You see magazines, Shaggy and them there. You see magazines that you buy. You know, music and lyrics. you know, that that was the kind of media that was available at the time.
There was no internet.
You could only go print, print media. And so that's where we saw everything. We read everything. Yo. And
so, but when you're hearing them spit, when you're hearing them, you know, do the, make the records, as they say, DJ or chant or whatever, you're hearing these records.
Yeah.
You're hearing, what you're hearing is people that you know, like you know this music.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and the reason I want to point that out is because oftentimes people in the Caribbean, Westerners, Americans, think that what we're doing is somehow not connected to Africa.
It is.
And it's so connected to the point where when they see us, they already know exactly what we're doing.
Exactly.
Because it's been handed off to us.
Exactly.
And now it's... So I just wanted to make sure we had that 100%,
and that's beautiful because it's, you know, if not you, Ebro, I don't see three people saying it the way you say it, and I have to be honest about it. That's why Africa respects you so much. Because you have realistically, you teach us what we're supposed to know. Just because you're looking at it from the outside. Most of you, when you're in the inside, you get to be looking at somebody else's outside. You know what I mean? So then your focus is on there. And that's why, you know, we appreciate this cross connection when the vibe is right.
Yeah.
So you don't know you're right. That's just how it is. I got inspired off of reggae and dancehall as much as I am African music, you know, because probably the contemporary nature of it now is like soothing. It's interesting to want to know, to want to learn. And that's how I got gravitated and started early. I started learning patois before I touched Jamaica. You know, just because the energy was very connective. Like, it's just like, you hear the chant, you know?
You hear the vibes. When you hear patois, how much tree is in patois?
Yes.
Like, how much do you hear African dialect in the patois?
I would say, on the tonation and the accent and style, it's 100%. Yo, I'm gonna wonder that day, you know? Yes, I didn't know I'm going to be bro, and I lie, man. That's street. That's patois. Where I go? Yo, who going?
Right.
Same.
Sound the same to me.
And then we have some of the specific lyrics and the words meaning the same things in Jamaica. And definitely the Ghanaian roots in Jamaica is very strong.
Very strong.
You hear, you know, the Tacky Falls. The Tacky Falls is actually Techi Falls. Which is the, because the chief of the Maroons once upon a time is what? Kojo. But we say Kojo, that's how we pronounce it. You know, and the Kwamis, and so it's real.
And
it's,
even in Jamaica, they have day names, like they do in Africa, where the day you're born dictates your first name.
Exactly. Right.
So Kojo born on a Monday.
Exactly. Kwame, like me, is born on a weekend, on a Saturday.
Saturday. But and also, too, a lot of people don't know that the connection between Ghana and Jamaica is so deep that you could travel from Ghana to Jamaica without a visa now.
Quick.
That's how. And now, even if you look at the flag, if you look at the flags.
Yeah. That's
look
how
at
it's
Ghana's
been.
Flag and you look at Jamaica's flag.
Yeah.
Same colors.
Yeah, the Jamaican flag is said to have taking inspirations, which is right, from the Ashanti Kingdom flag. So when you take it, we have the green, the red, and the yellow, signifying wealth in the yellow, and then the red is the blood and the sacrifice, and then the green is the vegetation and the forestry and the resources that we have. So
and the black star
and the black star is like the people, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's beautiful.
You know, we have this connection, and it's not only Ghana and Jamaica, but respectfully, the Caribbean and Africa. On a large scale, because there you have solid history from Nigeria as well, from Benin, from Ivory Coast, from Burkina Faso, from Gambia. There are stories that need to be unearthed from these coasts and how they played a lot of significant roles, even through to Congo and Brazil. Because I'm actually imagining the world map right now, and some of the things make a lot of sense to why our culture, our music, our arts. It's really relevant in existence. And when I hear the competitive aspect of it, it hurts me. Because this is the time more than ever there should be that collectiveness of the music. That's why, for instance, Afrobeat is a very a very significant example of where we're headed as a people.
The diaspora, all of us.
So this has brought all of us together. Reggae would have led, maybe even journeys that began before. I'm just speaking my time. Mm-hmm. You know, reggae, dancehall, soca, over in the diaspora has been paving the way and representing for us as Africans from home too.
Yeah.
And so this time, we've also been able to push through, so much so that we're now connecting the bridges. Like, it's a beautiful time to be alive, because when you take an Afrobeat record, you can find all of us in there, from dancehall to soca to R&B to reggae. You know what I mean? That's what I know.
Yeah. Now, Stoneboy, if it's your first time getting familiar with him, like we pointed out, he's been recording for a long time. In Ghana and in your music, you also talk not only about the good stuff, but you talk about the problems as well.
Absolutely.
And the politics as well. 100%. So you made sure that it ain't just all, you know, what do they call it? Duckies and bunnies.
Nah.
No. But in Ghana, as much as I've had a great time there, many times that I've traveled there, and the people are just amazing, the culture's amazing. There's still some political things that are being figured out. The Independence Day was just the other day. It's been 66 years.
2 days ago it was.
Yeah, so, but talk about some of the biggest, what you see as some of the biggest issues that need to be fixed and that the youth and the voters are, that you see working on and focused on. Getting to know yourself could be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Getting a new job, moving into a new environment, or just life hitting hard, you need somebody to talk to. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who could take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ebro to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ebro.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, realistically, we all should know by now the effects of politics on the continent of Africa, starting from when the founding fathers of independence, starting from Kwame Nkrumah, who's a Ghanaian, because Ghana was the first country sub-Saharan to attain independence in that manner, and he stood up and said, the independence of Ghana is meaningless until it's connected to the rest of Africa. So right from that time, I think there was a movement to actually better the continent and build it, you know, to levels where it can actually connect, I think, to the West, so that
and which is why they parity. Ultimately killed Kwame Nkrumah.
Exactly.
Too.
So the realities are that there's a ton that there are tons of problems that have been left with the continent that we're facing. I see a lot of big leaders, Pan-Africans, speak every day on the theories of how things can be done, and the practical is a different situation. But all the same, we face our own bits. Nigeria just had its election. Ghana is going to have theirs in probably another 2 years or something. We face a lot of challenges also. Like, what actually bothers me most, that I can't really understand why it's been done, is that when a government comes into power, they initiate a lot of projects, start some, get some to the middle, complete some, and then the next one comes, and then they turn back on, you know, what is supposed to continue. Especially in my country, you have the former president who built a lot of infrastructure. which is like the schools and the new airport terminal that we have. He did a lot of hospitals too. And you find out that in that political, you know, scheme, you know, the new one comes and
Nana Akufo-Addo
comes and also establishes a lot of good ideas, which is the free education, you know, that he brought. But then now the school buildings that was built by the former president, they're not in use.
They're just empty.
They're just empty. The accommodation situations that
they're not putting the money. So they you're offering something for free. You have buildings, but you're not actually allocating dollars to make it function.
So you're not supporting it.
So it's like, you know, these are the kind of I'm just stating this as an example for you to be able to grasp the political terrain, which is not specific to only Ghana, which is specific to probably third world countries in the world.
It's in America, bro.
And it's in America too, in different forms.
Yo, they taking money. We got schools right here in the city. They got three different schools right here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a school, it could be three schools in that same school, in the same building, where some of the kids is getting certain resources because of they took a test and got in at a certain level, and the other kids is getting shit. And they go to the same building. That's right here in New York City.
That's deep. At least you got in the same building. Anyway.
So
in
I'm
different
just saying,
forms.
Like,
yeah, like it's relatable, you know? In the end, I feel like we just have to realize that, look, we need to do well by the people, especially us
Put
who are in power
first.
For the people, by the people. And then in the end, those who are ruling over or being voted into power, they're also people, you know what I mean? So sometimes it just baffles me how it's a lot of talk and then the reality is different. Because, I mean, I'm in school still, and some of the things that we deal with are like...
So, year of return was 2019 was when I first went to Ghana. We all came out there. We tried, we was having parties.
Yeah.
We was going to see the sights and, you know, celebrating. You know, a lot of the diaspora comes home to either Nigeria, Ghana, all Sierra Leone, all over the West Coast, right, of Africa and probably worldwide, even South Africa has a big December. But now Ghana has become... one of the go-to December vacation spots
for
black folks everywhere.
100%.
What has been the response from people who live in Ghana, the citizens of Ghana? Do they like it? Is it frustrating December? Just what's the overall vibe and what can visitors to Ghana know about when they go visit?
100%, we love it. Ghanaians are welcoming, we're hospitable people, and you can tell. We used to be called the Gold Coast, and there's still gold there anyway, so we're still the Gold Coast. And Ghana, as named by Kwame Nkrumah, means the Warrior Kings. So in several aspects, we are home to everybody. So it's being received nicely. You can attest to that fact. Charlemagne was there the other day. You know what I mean? You have the beach, he's the go-to. You have the, it's like the Ghana, the Ghana situation is fire because you don't only have, there are some landlocked countries that you don't have varieties. Ghana, bro, sometimes you can get the snow as well. So in some parts.
You can go to the mountains, you can go to the beach.
Variety. Wait, the infrastructure is actually getting there, to be honest. Like,
you can go to the Ashanti Kingdom
exactly.
and actually see the history of the whole shit.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. And not only the Ashanti Kingdom, there are several other kingdoms that need to be explored as well in Ghana.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Volta.
Volta region over
the north.
Yeah.
You know, the Western and the Central. You know, so it's a beautiful place. I'll urge travelers to always make Ghana a December destination, you know what I mean? And because definitely there's a lot to know, there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot to bring in terms of ideologies, in terms of, you know, because it doesn't lie in one man's head. So I'm just asking the diaspora to make sure that they're also trying to invest their intellect and, you know, and sometimes finances as well in the motherland, because, yo, with a $500,000, bro, you could get something.
Acres.
We could do business. We could create employment. You know what I mean? So it doesn't depend on only the indigenous of Ghana or Africa to build Africa, but Africans all over the world, you know, have to take on that as priority first and foremost before anybody else.
Stone Boy.
I saw real quick. I saw that you were part of the. You popped out at the Black Star Festival that Vic and Chance put together. Tell me, how was that vibe? Because from over here, it looked incredible.
It's an incredible vibe. Honestly, it was. It is still something that rings in my memory because, yo, when I stepped on stage, it was like I surprised the performance anyway. You know, and it was the whole lights were all over and all of that, because this is something that I've always been advocating for, because I have a festival that's called the BIM Concert, which always connects the Jamaica and Ghana relationship, extensively representing Caribbean and Africa in that manner, you know, to grow the culture, to grow the music. So I always bring, you know, reggae dancehall artists every year. Last year was Busy Signal, Beanie Man did, Morgan Heritage did, etc., you know. So that Black Star is like, now somebody has the name with it.
Yeah.
Black Star. And this takes you way back also into Marcos Galvez's speech. Right. It tells you, because when you read about the establishment of the Black Stars, I believe that, if I do remember well, that is supposed to be the liner that will send back.
That was the ship. Marcos Garvey was the Black Star line.
Right. That's the liner that's supposed to send back people, commodity, goods, intellects. Like, metaphysically, it's not just a physical line. It's a spiritual line as well, to be able to connect back to the motherland where the source is from. It's okay for everybody to live everywhere, especially Black people, but it's very, very important to know where your roots are, where your energies come from. So when Vic Mensa and Chance, actually, who were born in America.
Right, but Vic's dad is Ghanaian, right?
Yes, Vic's uncle is a legend.
Word.
Vic's uncle is a big, 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 big legend. All right, that's on one side. So shout outs to, his name is Chief Okukuseku. That's the band that he built. So it's a big legend, yeah. So when they brought that back to Ghana, it was like great spirit. And it was a free event as well, you know. And that tells you that they're looking out to, you know, incorporate our. Yo, artists came all over. Everybody that was supposed to be on the bill came. The performances were fire. I mean, they were not expecting me on stage, but I went in. I don't want to use the F word. No, we're done the place, man. Our place, man.
That's fine. Man.
So it was nice. I mean, it brings that spirit. And I know I'm looking forward to that festival this year. It's going to be another brazy one. So if you're listening, if you can hear me, join in, get to know the music on the side, get to really know the stories that we represent, not only the artists that is, you know, making waves over here. For instance, somebody like a Wizkid has been at this for ages, a Burna, a David, myself. There are tons of big artists that are foundation to the new school, which I'm solidly involved. But it's only now that we're actually having the accessibility to work with institutions that are mainstream over this side. You know what I mean? But we've been grinding and representing for all of us, as much as I'm concerned, with music, you know, from Africa.
On the on people investing in Ghana too, I heard rumors that like Jay and Beyonce bought cribs. Like there's like a whole like wave of the man who built the African American Museum of History in DC, David Ajayi, he's Ghanaian. Ghanaian.
Yeah.
He moved his whole family to Ghana.
Wow.
Like
yeah.
It's yo, when you go there, you'll be like, wait, who lives here?
Exactly.
Wait, what's going on? And then when you go out on a beach like Labadi Beach, it's not like some little beach. The distance from like the resorts and the hotels out to the ocean is like a football field of sand, bro. Mm-hmm. And they be partying, playing music, like, and you're like, yo, we're in Africa right now. Yeah, and that was like the whole, like, you know, on this show, we'd be like, yo, shout out to Africa. Because part of what we were trying to do these last several years was just make Africa a fun place.
Exactly.
For people to go and vacation. And when they get there, they're going to be hit with the culture, the stories. Mm-hmm. You can go to, you know, the slave dungeons along the coast and hear those stories if you want. But you could also go visit the Rastas in Ghana. A lot of people don't know there's a whole Rasta community in Ghana. There's Jewish communities, Muslim communities. Like, it's Ghana's fire, bro.
Definitely it is. And so Africa is fire in the end.
Yeah, there it is. Stone Boy, give it up one time. Shout out to Def Jam and Universal stepping in and helping artists, man. It's good to see you again, man.
For real.
It's love. Yes, sir.
God bless you. Respect.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy, David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.